Are you awake now?
Oh. How you like that? That's like fingernails on a chalkboard. Isn't that great? Ah, yeah. You awake? Are you awake now? Praise the Lord. Sounds like this is pretty hot too, isn't it? Cool. Everybody have a good week? Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. Kids are all getting going, looks like. Cool. We're going to be looking. I'm going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn there. We're going to start there. Had a jumbled up message this morning, seemed like. The Lord was putting me in a lot of different directions, but I think it's focused now. So we're going to go to the Lord in prayer. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 11, if you want to turn there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Father, we humbly come before your precious throne. We are humbled by your presence, Father. We are humbled by who you are. We're even more so humble, Father, that you would take the time to love us. And we're so unlovable. And I just praise you for that, Father. I don't know why you do, but I am sure thankful that you do, Father, and that you pour out your love upon us, Father, and you poured out your love of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He could go to that cross and pay the penalty for our sins. Father, we can come before your throne this morning. Just praise and magnify you. Father, we're standing in your presence, and we just praise for that. We thank you for it, Father. Be with me, Father. Give me words to speak. Give me the words you want spoken. Father, I just praise you and I thank you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. Anybody see what the title of the message is today? Look at your bulletin. We don't know who we're dealing with. And I say that because it's been an interesting week. Some things going on, different things. And, you know, you're trying to get some kind of message together, and you want to be able to call Julie by Friday and let her know a message title and some verses of Scripture, things like that, because you don't want her hollering at you. She's not in here, so I can say whatever I want now at this point. So she don't want to holler at you, you know what I mean? But anyway, so you're trying to get stuff together, and I come home, I think it was Tuesday night, long day, I went to bed, and at 1:30 in the morning, I woke up. And the Lord, it was on my mind, be still and know that I am God. And I thought, what's that all about? So I got up, and I was in my room studying. It's like, you know, the Lord showed me some things, and I want you to see something. When I say we don't know who we're dealing with, we don't. I don't. I heard a guy this week, and it really impressed upon me, this message. He said, you know what? He said, God, we don't know who, we lost the awe of who God is. You get that? You know how many atoms are in one drop of water? Anybody got an idea? 6 trillion. 6 trillion atoms in one drop of water. Okay? There's no number big enough to calculate how many is in the oceans and the river. It's unfathomable. There's not a number that you can put to that. You don't have enough zeros or enough paper or enough pencil ink. You ain't got it. It's huge. You know, if God lost track of one of those atoms, he would no longer be God. You get that? Matt preached last Sunday. What did he talk about? God knows every hair on your head, right? Some of us more than others, right? But he's got to count a little longer on some of us than others, right? But he knows every hair on your head. The average person has 110,000 hairs on their head. The average person has 110,000 hairs on their head, and there's like 7 billion people in the world? Don't laugh, Tim. I see you back there chuckling. If God lost track of one hair on your head that fell, he would no longer be God. He's God. There's not words, right? Well, it's pretty awesome that he gave us this book that gives us words. If you go to Hebrews chapter 11, I was going to start somewhere else, but I want you to see Hebrews chapter 11 is the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter, you ever read Hebrews chapter 11? Anybody ever read it? I'm not going to read the whole thing because it's kind of long, drawn out, but it is God saying, okay, this person by faith did this. This person by faith did this. This person by faith. You get to reading that by faith, by faith, by faith. But I read the stories of these people And they messed up too. Doesn't it make you feel better? They made it into God's hall of faith and they still messed up. Isn't that cool? They still messed up. And because we've been talking, it seems like the theme has been, probably for the last couple months, talking about troubles, trials, tribulations, stuff that goes on in your life, stuff you got to deal with. It builds patience. It builds character. It builds your faith. What is your faith? What is faith? What is faith? In Hebrews chapter 11, the very first part of Hebrews chapter 11, first verse there says, now faith. He's going to tell us what faith is. Hebrews chapter 10, there's a lot of stuff, and I don't know if we're going to get there today or not, but I'd like to. Because if you look at the sermon title, I've got Psalm 46, I've got Hebrews 10, and Hebrews 11. Okay? And I added Romans 15. We'll see where we go. We'll go. This faith. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance. And I'll read this out of the Amplified because it's interesting the way this puts this. It says, faith is the assurance, the confirmation, the title deed of the things we hope for, being the proof of things we do not see, and the conviction of their reality. Sounds pretty high tech, doesn't it? Listen to this. Faith perceiving as real fact what is not revealed to the senses. Okay. You guys are all sitting in chairs, right? Are you worried a chair will break and you'll fall to the ground? Do you ever even think about it? No. You just come in, you sit down, good deal. Huh? I do. I sit down, yeah. You know what I'm saying? I don't think about that chair. Paul, do you ever think about it? You know you got faith in that chair, right? That it's going to support you and hold you. You're going to be able to sit in it. It's going to be comfy and a nice padded. And you're going to be okay, right? You don't even think about that faith. God is trying to get you to a point where you don't have to think about your faith. It just automatically is a part of who you are. Listen to this. Faith, that leaning of the entire human personality on God in absolute trust and confidence in His power, wisdom, and goodness. Wow. You know, when I was up at 1 o'clock in the morning, you guys should get up at 1 o'clock in the morning. It really revitalizes you. It makes you feel good. I mean, you really, next day, you're awesome. Huh? Yeah. I told Laura, I said, now, if you get me up and I lose sleep, it's on you tomorrow. And it was an awesome day. I had energy. I was like, woo! I didn't drink any coffee. Nothing. I was just ready. Huh? God was there. I wrote this down. And I don't know why. The Lord gave me, said, faith is the fertilizing catalyst that energizes the seed of your trust, belief, and confidence in God, the Lord Jesus Christ, that produces the overwhelming crop of abundant fruit in our Christian walk. Wow. What is faith? Faith is the thing that you hold on to when you're going through a trial, right? Faith is the thing that makes you go, all right, God, this is bad. This is bad. And I said this is bad. But you know what? You're badder. Huh? If that's even a word. You're badder. You're bigger. You're stronger. You're more powerful. You're God! I've lost the awe of who God is. He's God. There's nobody beside Him. There's nobody. No one can. He's God. Do we understand that? If we get a hold of that, then we say, He's God. He can do anything. He can do anything. I can walk in the door here. Should we try? Huh? Do you have faith to believe that? Huh? You be like Peter, gonna walk on water? Everybody says Peter, he's a dummy. He took his eyes off of Christ and sunk. He walked on water for a little bit. He's the only other person I know that did. When you get to heaven, you say, I walked on water. He did. He failed because he took his eyes off of Christ. We need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's our faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's go all the way to that last. If you get a chance, interesting study. You just take the whole book of Hebrews and go down through and see who he's talking about and go back to the Old Testament and look at them. See what they did. See what their life was like. They messed up. It takes a lot of weight off of me. Whew. Because, you know, they mess up too. So if I mess up, I'm okay. You know what I mean? I still got faith in God, right? Okay, let's go to the very, very last part of Hebrews 11. And we'll start in verse 32. The Lord was really had a lot of chunks of scripture today. It was like chunks, you know what I mean? It was like, man, okay. So if that's what He wants to be said, then that's what we're going to do. So Hebrews chapter 11, let's start in verse 32. And He says, "What shall I say further? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, or David, and Samuel, and the prophets." And if you get a study Bible, it'll take you back. It'll give you all these verses where these guys did stuff. Verse 33, "Who by the help of faith subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, closed the mouths of lions." Verse 34, "Extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the devourings of the sword, out of frailty and weakness won strength, and became stalwart, even mighty and resistless in battle, routing alien hosts." Wow. Verse 35, "Some women received again their dead by a resurrection. Others were..." This is where it gets tough. When I was reading down through this, this is where it gets tough, because, you know, we expect God to answer our prayers, right? "Help me, God, help! Help him! Help him!" Right? And, like, nothing happens. It's like, "Where are you, God? Where are you?" I want to read this to you, because, you know what? There's a lot of martyrs. And I heard this story this week. And when I heard it, it was like, do you ever think you could be a martyr? I mean, you think about this, okay? Someone comes up to you and says, "Okay, I'm going to kill you. I'm going to nail you to a cross. I'm going to kill you with a sword. I'm going to put you in front of a firing squad. You're going to die unless you renounce your faith." Take it a step further. You got family. Okay? If you don't renounce your faith, we're going to kill your wife right in front of you. Take it a step further. Got kids. If you don't renounce your faith, we're going to kill your children right here in front of you. Wow. That makes your knees get weak, doesn't it? I'm thinking, man. The story I heard this week was back in Roman times. There was a... They didn't believe in killing a pregnant woman at that time, because you're killing two people. So she was a Christian. She had her baby. Her dad told her, "You need to renounce your faith." She said she would not. She handed her baby, just had her baby, handed her baby to her father and walked in the ring and was killed by lions. Wow. Is that faith? Wow. We don't see that today, guys. We're not crucified like they were then. But there are people in the United States, not in the United States, there are people in the world today that are. They're killed for their faith. Did God fail them? Did God leave them in their time of need? I think He gives them a lot of grace. I don't know how you would let yourself be killed by lions and all you had to do is say, "I don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ." Wow. Take a lot of faith, wouldn't it? I think God's going to give you grace in that. And that's when I want to say that, because I'm going to read this next part of this. It's like, okay, in verse 35 it says, "Others were tortured to death with clubs, refusing to accept release, offered on the terms of denying their faith so that they might be resurrected to a better life." Wow. "Others had to suffer the trial of mocking and scourging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned to death. They were lured with tempting offers to renounce their faith. They were sawn asunder." Wow. You never cut in half with a saw. Wow. They were slaughtered by the sword while they were alive. They had to go about wrapped in skins of sheep and goats, utterly destitute, oppressed, cruelly treated. Verse 38, "Men of whom the world was not worthy, roaming over the desolate places in the mountains and living in caves and caverns and holes in the earth." Wow. Hiding. Verse 39, "On all of these, though they won divine approval." What? "All of these, though they won divine approval by means of their faith, did not receive the fulfillment of what was promised." because God had us in mind and had something better and greater in view for us, so that they, these heroes and heroines of the faith, should not come to perfection apart from us before we could join them. Huh? Wow. What is your faith? Your faith is what connects you to God. Your faith is what you hold on to when there's nothing else left. Your faith. And your faith has to be in someone who can answer that. We have to come to the point. We have to come to the point in our life that we know that God loves us. He wants the best for us, no matter what's going on in our life. And I read you this. I got this. Anybody ever, there's a Jesus storybook Bible for kids. It's really cool. You ought to read it. It just takes stories from the Bible. And Sally Lloyd-Jones, I think her name is. She wrote this book. It's just a really cool for kids. It's really cool. But she keeps this one thing she says through this whole book. And I wrote this down. God loves His children with a never stopping, never giving up, unbreaking, always and forever love. Do you understand God loves you? He's not going to let you down. Okay, I died. I got killed. I died. Can you imagine closing your eyes in death and waking up in the presence of the Almighty God? Can you imagine what it would be like to wake up in the presence of God and says, well done. Well done. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Huh? Well done! Whew! When you start looking at things like that, you start thinking, wow. Wow. And I want you to see this. I wrote this down because I didn't want to forget what it said. An Old Testament believers mentioned above received divine commendation through their faith. Still, they did not receive everything promised to be given to the coming of His Messiah. The reason for this is that God had reserved something better for us. A better hope, a better covenant, better promises, better high priest, better access to God, better sacrifice, better possession, and a better resurrection. It's all better! Isn't that cool? Huh? These saints of the faith who died... Guys, you ever read Fox's Book of Martyrs? It's not enjoying reading. It's not for enjoyment. You can't sit down and read it. It's things that they do to people, burning at the stake. You know, a lot of people think burning at the stake, they put this big fire and no. They burn little coals really slow and they cooked you slow. Hours. Hours. Hours! And I think of all that and I think, wow. And they didn't renounce their faith. Still believed in God. And then you say, well, Matt, you know, them guys in that Hebrews 11, they're all Jewish guys, kind of, sort of, ain't they? Yeah. Do we really have them promises? Let's go to Romans chapter 15. I want to read something here to you. Romans chapter 15. Because I think things like that sometimes. Romans chapter 15, verse 8. You get there. Do you understand that through Abraham, God blessed the entire world? Said He was going to bless. He said, Abraham, your descendants are going to be as the sand of the sea. You ain't going to be able to count them. God blessed the whole world through Abraham. And then He went above and beyond that. He blessed the whole world through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Huh? Above and beyond. In Romans chapter 15, verse 8 says, for I tell you that Christ, the Messiah, became a servant and a minister to the circumcised, the Jews, talking about the Jews here, in order to show God's truthfulness and honesty by confirming the promises given to our fathers. Verse 9, and also in order that the Gentiles, that's me, that's you, we're Gentiles. Anybody here Jewish? And you're like me, you're Gentile. Okay? Okay. I mean, I'm just saying, we're Gentiles. So what's he saying in verse 9? That the Gentile might glorify God for His mercy to them, as it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing praises to your name. That's Psalm 18. Verse 10, again he said, it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, along with his own people. Deuteronomy 32. Verse 11, and again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the people praise him. Psalm 117. It says, in 12, and further, Isaiah says, there shall be a sprout, a root from the root of Jesse, he who rises to rule over the Gentiles. In him shall the Gentiles hope. That's you and I. You see, we're part of this. We're all part of this. What's verse 13 say? May the God of your hope so fill you with all joy and peace in believing through the experience of your faith that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound and be overflowing, bubbling with hope. Huh? Bubbling with hope. What's this hope? What is our hope? It's our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what He did on that cross. Huh? When you're in the middle of a trial, do you think like that? There you go. That's what I do. I cry like a baby. I said that out loud, didn't I? Dang on. Huh? Huh? You ever have? We all go through stuff. It hurts, right? It's painful. It hurts. You know, our hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if I die today, I know I'm going to heaven. Do you know that? You're going to heaven. You know what that's going to be like? Do you? Wow. You're going to make me do it, ain't you? Let's go back to Revelation. All right. We're going to do it. I looked at this and I thought, no, I'm not going to put this out there. I'm not going to look at this at all. But I guess the Lord's going to take it around somewhere else. Revelation chapter 7. Sorry about it, Alan. Revelation chapter 7. It is the last book in the Bible. It's the very last book in the New Testament. If you go all the way to the right-hand side of your Bible and come back, there's Revelation. Revelation is the revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God wrote down an entire book. This thing is huge. Anybody ever read this all the way from cover to cover? It's daunting. It's big. It's a lot of words. But I'll tell you what, you can do it. You can do it 6, 7, 8 times a year. Once you've done it once, then it gets easier. And once you do it again, it gets easier. And once you do it again, it gets easier. And you can read this thing. You can read it, read it, read it. The whole way through this Bible, God is trying to say, here's my son. I'm going to have to pay a price for you guys. And the only way I can do that, the only way I can buy you back, the only way I can return you back to the Garden of Eden, the only way I can get that relationship back is to send my son, Lord Jesus Christ, to pay your price on the cross. Huh? Revelation chapter 7. This is a glimpse into heaven, what it's going to be like when we get to heaven. Huh? It's interesting because I want to read it. I was looking at this. Talks about in the first part of this chapter, there's the ceiling of 144,000 from each one of the 12 tribes of Israel. In verse 9 it says, after this, John's talking here, he said, after this, I looked and saw a vast host appeared which no one could count. This is a lot of people. Can't count them. Gathered out of every nation from all tribes and people and languages. It doesn't say anything about Jews here. Who's that mean? Gentiles, that's me. That's you, right? Out of every nation, all over the whole world, languages, people, tribes. These stood before the throne and before the Lamb. They were attired in white robes with palm branches in their hands. They're in white robes, palm branches. In loud voice they cried, saying, our salvation is due to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb. To them we owe our deliverance. Huh? Woo! In verse 11, all the angels were standing around the throne, around the elders, and the four living creatures, and they fell prostrate before the throne and worshiped God. Huh? Huh? When he says he's the Lord of hosts, he means he's the Lord of all the angels in heaven. He's the Lord of hosts. And made it there at his bid and call. He's God! And you're there! You got a white robe. You guys like wearing white? Makes me look fat when I wear white. Huh? It ain't going to matter in heaven. Praise the Lord. Huh? It ain't going to matter. We're going to be in white robes. And verse 12 says, amen. This is what the angels say. Amen. So be it, they cried. Blessing and glory and majesty and splendor and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and might be ascribed to our God to ages and ages, forever and ever, through eternity of eternities. Amen. Huh? Then addressing me, one of the elders of this heavenly Sanhedrin said, "Who are these people clothed in long white robes, and from where do they come?" John replies, "Sir, you know." And he said to me, "These are they that have come out of the great tribulation, persecution, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Because they believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. For this reason, verse 15, "For this reason they are now before the very throne of God and serve Him day and night in His sanctuary. And He who is sitting upon the throne will protect and spread His tabernacle over and shelter them with His presence. They shall hunger no more, thirst no more, neither the sun will smite them nor any scorching heat." Woo! It's going to be that perfect temperature in heaven. Cool? "For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will be their shepherd. He will guide them to the springs of the waters of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." Huh? Is this going to be a good time? You guys got a little excited when Doug gave you candy this morning. I can see some, oh yeah, some candy. Huh? This is going to be 10,000 million times better than candy. Isn't that cool? Huh? That is so cool. I wasn't going to show you that. Because this is after you're dead. Huh? This is what we got to look forward to. This is what those martyrs look forward to. They believed that God was faithful. He was just. And when they died, they were going to be in His presence. Huh? But what good does that do me today, Matt? I'm not dead yet. Well, I understand. Me neither. Yet. Let's go to the Old Testament. I want to show you something. We're going to go back to Psalms 46. Psalms is just about smack dab in the middle. Pretty close. Psalm 46. The neat thing about reading your Bible every year, at least once through, is you kind of get the idea where the books are, right? When somebody says Habakkuk, you can say, "Yeah, I remember that. That's a book in the Bible." Huh? Trivia. Trivia. Psalm 46 is an interesting psalm, and I was drawn to the last part of the verse or the chapter, verses 10 and 11. I was really drawn to that. And that's the reason I believe the Lord woke me up. But I found some things out about this, and I want this to. We talked about prayer last time I preached. You know, we talked about the four things: what, Bible study, giving, praying, fasting. Those are four things that will change your life, guys. Four things will change your life. And have you anybody incremented the prayer? I gave you a little thing, cats, prayer. Anybody do that? Do you ever pray and you just kind of lose your mind, kind of end up thinking about something else? Ever have that happen? Have you ever done that? Yeah, I've done that a lot. If you start to pray to God, and it's almost like, then you're like, "Oh, I got this to do today." You're like, quit it. No. Focus. Well, I found something out. And this is something that I think I never really realized before, but the older I get, the more important it becomes. And Psalm 46 is a cool psalm. It's just, if you're ever feeling down, and I touched on this before a little bit, if you're ever feeling down, and you just go back and start reading the psalm. There's some cool stuff in the psalm, but Psalm 46, I'm going to read the whole thing. I guess we'll go there. It says, verse 1, it says, "God is our refuge and strength." Do you believe that? Do you believe it? Is God your refuge? Look at this. And this says, "Mighty and impenetrable to temptation." He's God. "And very present and well-proved help in trouble." He is proven. He is proven He's a well help in trouble. Verse 2. "Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains be shaken in the midst of the seas." Now, I don't know, you guys ever been in an earthquake? It's really weird because the ground kind of, you're like, and it's like, that's just weird. I mean, it's just weird, huh? Can you imagine mountains falling into the ocean? Shaking that bad? That's pretty impressive, I thought, huh? The waves crack. I mean, there's a lot of stuff going on in that, right? We've all watched movies. I mean, they visit some of the stuff. Like, that's pretty impressive how they do that. I know it's computer animated, but whatever. But it looks pretty real, right? Stuff going on. It says, even though that's gone, in verse 3 it says, "Though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble at its swelling and tumult, Phew, that's all bad stuff, ain't it? Verse 4, there is a river whose streams shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Wow. God will help her right early at the dawn of the morning. Huh? God says, even though the world's falling apart, you think the world's in pretty good shape right now? Anybody watch the news much? No, because it's disappointing, isn't it? It makes you want to just turn the TV off. It's pathetic. People are stupid. Amen. God says, no matter what's going on, I'm going to be in the midst. And you know, you can take that to the bank. No bank here on earth. That's a bank in heaven. You can take that to the bank. God will be in your midst. Huh? Let's go on. Oh my. It gets worse. The nations raged. The kingdoms tottered and were moved. He uttered his voice and the earth melted. Wow. Anybody ever see a volcano? Huh? Mount St. Helens, I was old enough there when that exploded. Wasn't that awesome? I mean, I don't know how many billions of tons of rock it put in the air. Boom! Just a little teeny volcano thingy. It devastated for hundreds of miles. We had smoke here. I mean, it was incredible. God says, yep. And he uttered his voice and the earth it melted. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. You keep getting this reiterating theme through this whole chapter. It says, even though it is bad, I'm in the midst of you. Don't worry, I'm there. Even though the nations is going crazy, people kill one another, I'm here. Don't worry. Calm voice. It's good. It's all right. God says, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our fortress and he's our high tower. See that Selah in there? Selah. It says, the Greek translation is just stop. Think about that. God's with you. Take a deep breath. I was able to do some Alice training. Anybody ever do any Alice training here? Alice training is active shooter training we have to go through for work now because active shooters are becoming more and more, obviously. People that just come into a church and start shooting people. Active shooter. And they say, the thing they brought out, and I tie this in with this, because they say when something like that happens, that's why people can roll cars over, run really fast, really strong. Your heart rate goes massive in seconds. You've got like a 200 over 150 blood pressure. And there's so much blood, there's no blood pumped to your brain at that point. It's just going to your muscles. And you're just going, you're just going on whatever you're thinking, you're going, you're doing it. And you got a lot of strength and power in that. That's why when you see these SWAT guys going in, they're going to go and attack, see them. They take four deep breaths. Four deep breaths brings your heart rate down to about 150. Over 80, 90, somewhere in that area, you can think logically then. When your heart rate's 200 over 150, there's no logical thinking. There's no thing. You're just acting. You're running. You're smashing through doors. You're doing whatever. There's no logical thinking. And at this, God says, just stop. Take a breath. Know that I'm God. Know that I'm here. Know that I'm with you. Let's keep going here. This is pretty good stuff, I thought. Verse 8 says, come, behold the works of the Lord who has wrought desolations and wonders in the earth. Wow. Last time I preached, it sounded like the wind was going to tear the roof off. Remember that? Doors. Huh? Remember that? Isn't that cool? And that's just a little wind. Verse 9 says, he makes wars to cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow in pieces and snaps the spear in two. He burns the chariots in the fire. Isn't that cool? He's our God. But listen to this. Verse 10. Verse 10 is what 10 and 11 what I want to look at. Because this is where we're going. This is where we're going. The Amplified says, let be and be still and know, recognize and understand that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Huh? This word for be still, it means, I don't know, maybe some of your translations say stop fighting, relax, Calm down. Take a chill pill. Huh? You haven't heard that in a long time. I heard that. Yeah, take a chill pill. That's a match rendition of what it says. Take a chill pill. Just chill. Just wait. And it says this. When you pray, and you're talking to God, and when you're done telling Him all the stuff you want, and you've talked to God, and you've told Him everything you want Him to do for you, and you've told Him all the stuff, I want you to take 4 deep breaths real slow. Because for God to talk to you, you got to slow down. For you to get to know God, you got to breathe slow. Sit and wait. When I study, sometimes I'll read something and it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I lean back in my chair and I close my eyes and I'm like, wow. And it's like, just take a few seconds. God can talk to you. Huh? If you're going to get to be like God, you're going to have to take a few seconds to let Him talk to you. You said all you want to say, right? You said it all. Say, God, you're not doing this, and you're not taking care of that. Now, don't you do that? Now, don't you do that? Right? Isn't that what you do, man? It's like, and why don't you do something? Right? Isn't that what you do sometimes? We're in the middle of something. It's like, why are not you doing something? And God's like, take a breath. Chill. Chill. Just chill. The whole stuff. Verses 3, verses 6. All this stuff is falling apart. The world is going downhill. It's all going to hell in a handbasket. You've heard that before? That's what the world looks like it's doing, right? It's going downhill bad. Terrible. People kill people for no reason other than what they are. Just because they want to. God says, take a breath. Chill. Let's talk about it. Maybe you should listen. I really, Les brought it up this morning when I was looking at this. I thought of Job. There's from like chapter 3 in Job to chapter 38, 39. It's all like, always friends saying, it's just like, you read the whole thing, it's like, dude, what do you guys do? Just shut up. It does. It gets so old. It's like, dude, just shut up. And when they're all through this whole thing, God takes a couple of chapters and says, Job, who are you? Did I ask you when I made the earth? Did I consult with you in any decisions I made? He just goes, it's like, and Job was like, oh my, I am stupid, ain't I? Yeah. I think it's the same thing in our prayer. We're talking about, blah, 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 blah. We always tell God what we want Him to do, right? He'll wake up in the morning, still laying in bed. Say, Lord, I praise You for this day You give me. Father, I want to be open to Your leading. What do You want me to do? What can I do for You this morning, Father? What can I do for You today? Huh? Ask Him. There'll be rendezvous for you that day that you will never know about. You'll never see until you take them a few seconds to say, God, what can I do for You? Huh? Because you know You are His hands and feet. You know You are how He gets things done. It might be the hug, it might be the word, it might be whatever said. You are that one. Isn't that cool? Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Huh? And He says, I'm going to be exalted among the nations. In my book, my Bible, in the Amplified, it says, I will be exalted among the nations. Exclamation point. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Exclamation point. God says, I will be. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. He's our high tower. He is the reason we're here today, right? He's the reason I can stand up here. I was nervous about preaching this morning because God just had a stuff. There was stuff going on. And He brought it together. And I want to read something. You don't have to turn there. I want to read you something in Hebrews chapter 10. I want to read this to you. talking about in verses 28, says, you know, in this time, if you violated anything was violated, you actually would. Moses is a dipstick, huh? That's all it took. They could stone you with the witness, one or two witnesses. And he's talking about that here. He says, so if you could get stoned because you blasphemed Moses, verse 28 says, how much worse, sterner and heavier punishment do you suppose he will be judged to deserve who has spurned and thus trampled underfoot the Son of God, and who has considered the covenant blood by which he was consecrated common and unhallowed, thus profaning it and insulting and enraging the Holy Spirit who imparts grace and favor and blessings of God. Wow. Verse 30, for we know him who said, vengeance is mine, retribution and the meting out of full justice rest with me. I will repay, I will exact the compensation, says the Lord. And again, the Lord will judge and determine and solve and settle the cause and the cases of his people. Verse 31. It is a fearful, formidable, and terrible thing to incur the divine penalties and be cast into the hands of the living God. Huh? When you trample the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ underfoot, you incurred the wrath of God. Wow. You may not die that day. You may not die that second. I've seen people say, you living God, kill me now. Yeah, see, not true. God don't have to follow your mouth. He just got to wait, because one day, each and every one of us will stand, kneel, prostrate, flat out on our face before him, and we'll know that he's God. So if that's the God we serve, that's the one we have faith in. Huh? That's the God we look to. Wow. I'm going to shut up. Come to the next part of this service. We do an invitation. Les is the only one here of the elders. He's going to come forward. Les truly has a loving heart for you. He really does. I see that in him. I see it in the elders. I do. And this time we're going to come forward. If there's anything you need prayer for, guys, this time is for you. This is the time for you right now. This is your time. This is the time that God set apart for you to come forward if you need prayer for anything. Les is going to be here. And I'm going to try to make a phone for you.